Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
It's time now for the watch list, our weekly look at what's coming up on TV and in cinemas this week. And I'm joined today by culture commentator Sunita Appiah-Korang and Michael Doherty, movies editor of the RTE Guide. And I'm speaking slightly slowly to allow you both the time to sit down. Sunita, let's start with cinema. Critics not loving the remake of I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Really? Is that the case? I would say that I enjoyed it myself. Yeah. So whenever it first came out, the 1997 one, I was probably a little bit young, but I rewatched it recently and then went into the cinema July 18th whenever it came out to watch the reboot, which is 27 years on. And I have to say that it recontextualizes it to the now. It kind of makes it fresh and entertaining in a kind of Gen Z millennial way. But it definitely satisfied on the jump scares and the thriller slasher.
Okay, so good summer movie outing for people, yeah?
Yes, I would say so. If you like, if you enjoy that sort of thing, it's definitely going to satisfy on that front.
Michael, tell me about this Irish film, Four Letters of Love. It's got Pierce Brosnan, Helena Bonham Carter and Gabriel Byrne, among others. People really love that book.
Yeah, but, it's a
mixed reception from the critics.
Yeah, mixed review. It's a much beloved book. Niall Williams came out in the late 70s. People loved it. It was a story of, you mentioned all the big names, but actually it's the story of a younger couple who are sort of fated to be kept apart, but perhaps something supernatural, or no spoilers here, might fate bring them, conspire to bring them together. So on paper, beautiful book, great cast that you mentioned, beautifully shot in Donegal and Antrim, and here comes the but. But the magic just isn't there on screen. Where it worked in print, it really doesn't work for me anyway, and for a lot of people I've spoken to, but it just didn't work for me. And I didn't really believe in it, this whole supernatural side of it. It's a very tricky act to pull.
Yeah.
It works well in print, and there's a suspension of disbelief that you have there and you allow in the author. It's easy, you know, it
writes. Okay, so maybe for some evening on streaming in the winter when it hits streaming.
I mean, it looks well and a very strong cast.
Okay, all right, very good. I'm going to end it on a positive note there. Sunita, the third season of The Summer I Turned Pretty is out on Prime now. For the uninitiated, fill us in.
Yes, so I guess it's kind of a classic kind of coming of age drama between Belly Isabella, who's played by Lola Tung. So the first and second season kind of set you up in the context of the story. She goes to a summer house with her mother's best friend's family, the Fishers, and she's always been in love with Conrad Fisher, the eldest son, and has been best friends with Jeremiah, the youngest son, who's her peer. First season, you kind of get the setup of that kind of tension. She comes of age, obviously she's peaked pubescent wise, and they now are paying a lot more attention to her. And so there's this will they, won't they kind of narrative. Second season, they are dating. There is some kind of tension and they break up, and then she starts dating the younger brother, Jeremiah, after some time. So ultimately where we are at is they're going through college in the third season, on the other side of it, making adult decisions, basically. And that summer and the kind of adolescence and romantic pastoral.
Nicely done.
It's beautiful. It's very escapist kind of, you know, TV. It's not really like modern other kind of adaptations of teenage life like Euphoria and Sins and such. It's just sanitized and lovely. But at the same time, you get totally drawn in. They're all really pretty and cute. And
okay, you know what the punters want, right?
Yeah.
Summer I Turned Pretty, season 3 on Prime now. Michael, The Narrow Road to the Deep North kicks off on BBC One tonight, I think at 9:15, starring our own Ciarán Hinds.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about beloved tomes. This is also a beloved tome, Booker Prize winning novel. It's a story of a soldier who was, an Aussie soldier who was involved in the Burma Railway. He was a POW, had a horrible, horrible war. Post-war, then he becomes a very eminent surgeon and he's travelling around telling his story. And then on the course of this sort of the book tour, elements of his past are brought up, including the fact that he had a relationship with his uncle's wife. So it's a very, very strong, powerful story. A lot of memories and embedded in what's deeply ingrained that suddenly comes out afterwards. Jacob Elordi plays the character as a young man, and then our own Ciarán Hinds plays him in his elder years. Very strong.
Quality, upmarket.
Really
stuff,
quality drama, beautifully shot. It's over 5 parts, and I think people will, if you get stuck into it, you really will love it.
Okay, The Narrow Road to the Deep North, and that's on BBC One tonight. Sunita, tell me about Washington Black on Disney Plus from Wednesday.
Yeah, so Washington Black is a TV series adaptation of the book by Canadian author S.E. Edugyan. And basically it's a telling of a story of a slave boy from Barbados who forms a kind of unlikely affinity and bond with a kind of mad scientist character called Christopher Titch Wild, a.k.a. Titch, that's his shorthand name. And ultimately a kind of jealousy developed by his brother between the relationship, because he's an inventor, he shows a lot of promise in terms of academic ability, and ultimately a kind of an altercation goes awry, he has to escape, and Titch helps him, and we follow them on this kind of arc of what happens to slaves that escape, who are all the people and community along the way that enable that.
Okay, so is it kind of intense historical issues driven, or?
I wouldn't say that it's necessarily intense. Like, it's a very rich tapestry in a different kind of context, I suppose, to the typical slavery story. Usually that's set in the South and Mississippi and kind of places like that. I think that, like, where Disney really do well is it kind of makes a complex issue really rich and beautiful in this beautiful landscape of Barbados and different islands. And really the themes do kind of focus more so on this unlikely relationship, his kind of struggle with identity, trying to find himself, education, and just kind of the unexpected barriers that come along his way.
Okay, Michael, you like this?
I did like it as well, yeah. Because like Sunita is saying, it's not the usual, you know, cotton plantation and it's all set here. There's something very, it's almost like Jules Verne. I mean, there's hot air balloons. This young guy has, he clearly has, like he's an 11-year-old on the sugar plantation, but he has potential and he's an artist and there's something
it's
about
fantastical
him that is
as
magical.
Well.
Okay.
A lot of magic realism going on.
Okay, that sounds good. Washington Black on Disney Plus from Wednesday. Sunita, Catalogue is out now on Netflix. It sounds interesting. Any good?
Yeah, it is. So I went into it kind of thinking that it might be something akin to Shrinking that's on Apple TV with Jason Segel. So this is an Egyptian-based kind of story, a widowed father whose wife just died of cancer. He's picking up his life with his two children and trying to kind of raise that and continue his business. And what he, I suppose, discovers, one, is that he's been a very absentee kind of father, allowing the mother to pick up all the pieces on the kind of familial side of things. So he's really just learning actually how to parent and what his kids are like several years down the line, the things that he assumed of them before aren't the same. And he essentially relies on this iPad blog that his wife had for other moms out there and uses that as a framework for raising his kids. So it's kind of like a dark humor set in a different place. And also, like, obviously it's an Arabic cultured kind of TV show. So there's like different cultural elements in there, but it's very much relatable and deals with grief, you know, picking up the pieces and raising kids in a new context.
Okay, Catalogue on Netflix now. Michael, I wouldn't even know where to find. Is it U Plus Alibi, this channel?
Yeah, the Alibi channel. It's quite a popular one. It's for all those sort of crime dramas.
Okay.
And basically... And
bookish.
Mark Agis, the wonderful Mark Agis, he of Sherlock and League of Gentlemen fame, he was approached at a media event by two guys from Alibi who said, "Oh, by the way, Mark, do you have a period detective drama in you?" And he went, "Funny you should say that." And he had this 6-part piece ready to go. So he plays the eponymous guy, Bookish. His name's Book. He's a bookkeeper, but he's also an amateur sleuth set in post-war London. So it's all of that atmosphere of, you know, ration books and bomb shelters and bomb sites. And he has described himself as a cross between Alistair Sim with the palette of Powell and Pressburger. So he loves all of those, you know, post-war British movies. In fact, he watched Brief Encounter 6 times before he started writing the piece. It's already been commissioned for a second series and it's very, very strong. And Gates is terrific as this sort of Alistair Sim detective, you know, solving crimes on the side. You know, it's very much in his wheelhouse and I really liked it.
Yeah, okay. Bookish, and that's on Alibi. Sunita, tell me about Shiny Happy People, A Teenage Holy War. So this is the second season of it. And it focuses on a 1990s evangelical Christian movement called Teen Mania, yes?
Yes, exactly. So I guess the first season really kind of set up the context of it, basically building the kind of story of the Duggars family, who are this fundamentalist Christian family. They have 19 kids. They had a TV show called 19 and Counting on Discover back in the day. I don't know if that's... It would have been very American, I suppose, but for those that might have had the channels, might have had exposure to that. And I guess basically the second season deals with, you know, how like boot camps and Christian camps and Christian rock and kind of the like modernizing a very antiquated nuclear family, very traditionalist mindset around the kind of fundamentalist Christians, like how that extends into ideology and influenced pop culture, like Britney Spears and Paris Hilton, whenever she was she had like a kind of a period of time where her parents sent her to a camp to kind of stop her drinking.
And she wasn't happy about. Yeah.
Exactly. So basically we're now, you know, however many decades on, hearing these stories from people that have gone through them and kind of the abuse, the kind of extremism, and some of the leaders of that were very culty and had their own kind of skeletons in the closet that would have been informing these different institutions, and also kind of sheds a bit of light on where influence happens politically.
We're all reaping the benefits, so to speak, of that kind of thing now. Okay, that sounds really interesting. Shiny Happy People, A Teenage Holy War, and that's on Wednesday on Prime.
Yeah.
Michael, you wanted to mention there's a 50th anniversary reissue of Barry Lyndon at Dublin's Lighthouse Cinema. This is kind of regarded as one of the greatest films ever made.
I think
TikTok kind of brought it back for a younger generation.
I mean, there are positive things. Well worth saying. Like, we talk a lot about Jaws 50th, but this is well worth saying.
Okay, so, excellent.
Don't
All
miss
right.
it.
Okay, thanks very much, Sunita Appiah-Korang and Michael Doherty. That's it for today. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RTE Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.